I got a little elderly story here. Those of us who are elderly will appreciate this. Sitting on the side of the highway waiting to catch speeding drivers, a state police officer saw a car puttering along at 22 miles per hour. He thought to himself, this driver is just as dangerous as a speeder. So he turned on his lights and pulled the driver over. Approaching the car, he noticed that there were five elderly ladies, eyes wide and white as ghosts. The driver, obviously confused, said to him, "Officer, I don't understand. I was doing exactly the speed limit. What seems to be the problem?" "Ma'am," the officer replied, "you weren't speeding, but you should know that you're driving so slowly, so much slower than the speed limit, can also be a danger to other drivers." "Slower than the speed limit?" she asked. "No, sir, I was doing the speed limit, 22 miles an hour," she said proudly. State police officer, trying to contain a chuckle, explained to her that 22 was the route number, not the speed limit. A bit embarrassed, she grinned and thanked the officer for pointing out her error. The officer said, "But before I let you go, ma'am, I have to ask, is everyone in this car okay? These women seem awfully shaken, and they haven't muttered a single peep this whole time." The driver replied, "Oh, they'll be all right in a minute, officer. We just got off Route 119. Well, the direction I got this week, let's pray for the time in the Word. So, Father, we just lift up this time we have in your Word. I just believe you want to impart something very special today to each of us here. And I just pray, Father, for open hearts and open minds to receive what you have for us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. So the Spirit of God spoke to me again this week about gifts. And so we're going to continue where we left off last week. We did 11 of the gifts that God gives us last week. We're going to continue today. And let me just review a little bit about what a gift is. It's something you don't work for or earn. And it's always given with no expectation of you paying for it or giving one in return. And the giver always gives it as a way of expressing his or her love for you. And it's meant to make you aware that the giver has love for you. And usually it costs. A gift almost always costs the giver something. And it's meant to bring you joy. And it's meant to make a lasting impression of the giver's love for you. So once again, for those of you who weren't here last week, the reason that we're looking at these is that I believe the Lord very much wants each of you to be aware that he's given you gifts. Gifts that you need, gifts that you want, and gifts that sometimes you don't realize are gifts. And yet, you need to be thankful for the gifts that he's given you. So last Shabbat, we looked at 11 gifts, things that God has given us. And let's see, we could do a little contest. Who remembers some of the gifts?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Yeshua.
The ability to work.
Yes, the ability to earn a living.
The power to get well.
The power to get well.
Life
itself.
Righteousness.
Family. Righteousness.
Yeshua.
You got Yeshua twice. Salvation.
Love, joy, and peace.
Well, we didn't talk about them last week, but that's a good lead-in because we're going to talk about them this week. Okay, let me see if we missed any. Free will. That's a gift of God. Eternal life. Purpose. Those were, I think, all of them. So the Spirit of God has shown me that many have not received these gifts. And also this week I was seeing that Satan is a gift stealer. He deceives us into thinking maybe that the gifts are not for us or that we're not worthy of receiving God's gifts or that they're for somebody else but they're not mine or the gifts are not of any value to us. So we're going to try to expose some of his gift-stealing tactics. But before we get in, we're going to do the same thing we did last week. So I need about a dozen people to come up and sit in the front two rows because you are going to open a gift and try to solve the riddle of what the scripture is saying that gift is. So come on, let's do it quick. We need about a dozen people. Different people from last week would be good. We've got two. Do one of you still in?
Sure.
Okay, that's three. Need a bunch more. Come on, this was fun. You guys who saw it last week. The other thing you're to do is that when you open the gift, you are to show some emotion as to how happy you are that you got that gift, how thankful you are. So come on, some of you thespians, some of you have acting ability. Ah, here we got a couple. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Need a couple more. All right, Mark. All right. Okay, so the first gift is going to be opened by, who'd like to be the first one? Don't all, you get to hold a microphone. Carl, the first gift, take that first one out of the box. Oh, I should give you the box, let you open the box. I mean, that's, okay, don't take that. All right.
Gift number 12, which is follow on from last week. 1 John 4:8, God is love. So we have the gift of love.
So this verse tells us that God is the essence of love. He is love. He is the originator of love. So we need to understand that without God and his favor, there would be no love in this world. And also to understand that his love is not what the world calls love, which is really lust. His love is agape love, self-sacrificing love. And if we could see the second slide up there, for John 3:16, as you all know, God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique son. So this verse tells us, we can't find that, that God loves every person in the world. So he gives people the gift of his love, whether they believe in him or not. And the problem is that not everyone receives his love. But all who put their trust in him have his love. I have to say, and maybe some of you can say this along with me personally, I never knew true love until I experienced God's love. I didn't understand it. And on the other side, which I think it was very clear to me when I first came to the Lord, I really wasn't able to love others until I experienced God's love. And only then was true love in me so that it could flow out to other people. So he gave me a love for his creations, for people that wasn't there before. And it was what could flow through me. Now we need to understand something. That Satan tries to steal this gift. He tries very hard to steal this gift. So some of the spirits that I identified that steal this gift. Somebody's waving back there to me. Oh, I mean, don't need two microphones. Turn me back on the other microphone, Larry. Sorry about that. Because then I can use two hands. That's what you're trying to say? Yes, okay. So here are some of the spirits that Satan sends to steal love from us. Rejection, abandonment. There's a spirit called unloving, and I believe the spirit of unloving is a spirit that makes it impossible for us to receive love. So it's like people who have not been loved as children, oftentimes they have this unloving spirit. They're afraid of receiving. They're afraid of opening themselves up. And of course, lust. All of these try to steal God's love. So how many of here have ever received God's love, have ever experienced God's love? How many have been able to give it out? You need to be thankful because it's a gift. It is a gift. God's love is a gift. Okay, second gift. Meryl. Keep in order, yes.
Okay, so this is Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar as an atonement for your lives. For it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. So I'm going to go with Jesus' blood.
Yes! She got it.
She didn't have the mic.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay. God gave Israel a gift. It's like he says here, I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement, to pay the price for human sin. And he explains in this verse that it can only be paid by the shed blood, and if we read more and more about this, the shed blood of a clean and innocent animal. And Yeshua personally gave us the gift of God by allowing his blood, the blood of a clean and innocent man, to be shed, to make atonement for all sin, for all people, and for all time, for all who would put their trust in him and receive this gift. So how does Satan try to steal this gift of the blood? Spirits of shame, guilt, condemnation try to steal this gift, that the blood wasn't enough. The blood wasn't enough to cleanse that sin. God can't forgive me for that. So I have to say, I don't know about you, but I was trying to count how many times I've been in need of his blood. There's no way I could count. More times than I can count, I've been in need of his blood. So if you've ever been forgiven by God for something, you need to be thankful for his gift, the priceless gift of the blood of Yeshua. Amen. Okay, another gift. David. Microphone. We can do it all right this time.
Gift number 15. Psalms 103, verse 2. Bless Adonai, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our iniquity, and he heals all our diseases. His healing and forgiveness.
Healing and forgiveness.
Right.
You got it. You got it. Thank you, David. You can do that. So we already established, because we talked about the blood, that God's forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift. And a gift that comes through trust in the Messiah. So I think many people don't realize that God's healing power, it's right there in the verse, right up there, is right there as the same, with the same power of a gift. The forgiveness of our iniquity, which is our unintentional sin and our bad attitudes, is right up there with God's healing power. So that comes as a gift through trusting in the Messiah. That's why it says, by his stripes we are healed. So how many of you had a sickness in the past and you were healed? Anybody here ever had a sickness that was you were healed? Notice what it says here, the word all. So what does that mean? Yeah, it means all, but it means if you've ever been healed of a disease, it was God's healing power, because he created us to heal. He created us to have an immune system. He created the things that scientists create, medicines and stuff. He inspired those things too. So any disease that we have had, really, it was a gift of God that we were healed of it. So the enemy tries to stop this through spirits of infirmity, and there's a spirit called pharmacia. Pharmacia is the Greek word for drugs. So making people think that the healing comes from the drugs, when it really is because God has created us so that we will react to that drug and that thing will be healed. But other spirits that try to steal healing from us are fear, bitterness, and I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more thankful I am for this gift of healing, because the attacks on health seem to increase as you get older and become more frequent. So if you've ever been healed of anything, anybody here ever been healed? Yes? You need to be thankful it was God who brought that gift of healing. Okay, another gift. Dwayne? Whoops, we got two for this one. All right, you're up. They're all good ones.
Okay, this is gift number 14, John 14, 27. What I am leaving with you is shalom. I am giving you my shalom. I don't give the way the world gives. Don't let yourselves be upset or frightened. So it's peace.
Peace.
We
shalom.
Have the world doesn't have.
Shalom. So thank you, Dwayne. You can keep that. All right. So shalom is actually more than peace. Because really, if you look at the definition of peace, it's absence of war. And shalom is much more than that. To grasp what shalom is, just take a minute and think of all the things that rob you of your shalom, of your peace, right? Fear, worry, anxiety, those all rob you of shalom. Envy robs us of shalom. Greed robs us of shalom. Depression, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, all those things rob us of shalom. Shalom is the absence of those things. It's victory over those things. Shalom is security, prosperity, purpose, health, acceptance, joy. Now also notice in this verse that Yeshua says he's not giving us just any shalom. Do you see what shalom he's giving us? His shalom. Now, what is his shalom like? Well, he had shalom when he was going through the terrible trials that he faced. Even when he was hanging on the cross, dying, his shalom was still there with him because he trusted in the Father. How do we know? Well, in Luke 23, I've got another verse up there, I believe. Yeshua says, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Now, in order to be able to forgive people who are murdering you, you have to have your peace around you. You have to be at peace with what's happening. So that's the kind of shalom that he gives. Even in the midst of pain and torment, he had shalom. And then he says, I don't give the way the world gives. So what does he mean by that? I don't give shalom the way the world gives. Well, the world can give a temporary shalom, a temporary peace. It's based on circumstances. When your circumstances are right, you have enough money, you and your family are healthy, no one's out to harm you, you have worldly peace. But when the circumstances are wrong, when you're going through trials, the worldly shalom disappears. And what Yeshua is saying is the peace that I give you will not disappear in the midst of those trials. Because it's my shalom. It's my shalom. And of course, the enemy tries to steal it, especially spirits of fear. Fear and peace don't go together. But also, you can't be at peace when you're bitter or you're unforgiving or you're angry or you're resentful. They all steal your shalom. And again, I didn't know true shalom in my life until the Lord adopted me into his family. And when I experienced that, I just sensed this acceptance and that I had a purpose and assurance that he would provide. And nothing changed in my life. No circumstances changed. But all of a sudden, the unshalom that I had became shalom because I was trusting in the Lord. And I see some of you smiling because you remember the same thing happened to you. So he gives it. So if you've ever experienced shalom, you need to thank him for the gift of shalom. So let's just say thank you. Thank you for shalom. Thank you for shalom. Okay. Who's next? Who wants a gift? Okay. Oh, did I not turn it on? It's not your fault. I didn't turn it on. There we go. Okay.
Okay. Psalm 127:2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep.
What's the gift?
Rest.
Yes, sleep. Not just rest, but sleep. Thank you. And the reason I put it after health is because sleep, I've come to understand, and maybe some of you have also, sleep is a key to health. Right? A big key to health. When Satan attacks your health, he usually starts with disturbing your sleep. And what does that do? When you're tired all the time, it weakens your immune system, right? It messes with your ability to think straight. And it actually causes your system, your organs, to begin to break down. So I've seen this happen in so many people, and the world's solution to it is people go to the doctor and get sleeping pills, or they go over the counter and get sleeping pills, which have side effects. And the sleep that you get is not the kind of sleep that is normal sleep. So this is a big trap of the enemy to destroy our sleeping patterns. And yet the verse says that if you are beloved of the Lord, he has given you the gift of sleep. So I had a struggle with this last night. And I believe it was because I was going to talk about this. And I've had times when I've really struggled with sleep. And it's not with falling asleep. It's waking up at about 4 when it seems like I've had enough rest that I can't get back to sleep. And a few weeks ago, it was really interesting because last night I woke up at 4:20 and never got back to sleep. And I tried all kinds of things. I tried praying in tongues. I tried praying for people, all this. And I tried, confessing this verse, all those things. And then as we were preparing for the service, I was just praying for a minute. And I came to my mind that I had learned just a couple of months ago when I had a struggle getting to sleep, what to do, and I hadn't done it. And what I had done a couple of months ago that worked incredibly was, as I was trying to get to sleep, I got quiet and I listened to hear the Lord's voice. And I didn't do that this morning. And I realized that that is a key. And I want to share that key with some of you, because I remember when it happened a couple of months ago now, it was just amazing. It was like I listened for his voice and he said, "My peace I give to you, and I'm going to give you sleep back." And I went to sleep. And it just was like supernatural. And I think last night was just a little reminder because I forgot to do it. And when it came to me this morning, it was like, oh, that's right. That was a key. So take that as from the Lord. If you can't, how many here struggle with sleep? Oh, interesting. Raise your hands again. Look around. Look around at how many people struggle with sleep. Isn't that amazing? It is a big issue. So you can pray when you can't fall back asleep or you can't fall asleep. You can pray in tongues, you can pray for people, all that. But try just being quiet and trying to hear God's voice and see how that works. Okay? And of course, the spirits that attack us in our sleep. Certainly there's a spirit of insomnia. And that's something else I usually do, is I come against the spirit of insomnia. But if you're struggling with things, and I wasn't last night, it was just couldn't sleep, but usually worry and fear and, again, stress and bitterness, all those things can make it very difficult to either get to sleep or stay asleep. And that's the enemy's tactic. So how many of you have ever had a good night's sleep? Well, if you did, now you can be thankful to the Lord, because that's his gift is what it says there, right? Yeah. I give my beloved sleep. Okay. Next one. Okay.
Okay. Gift number 17, John 15:11. I have said this to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete. What is joy?
Yes. Thank you for joy. What is joy? This sounds a little bit like Jeopardy here. Now, in other translations, it actually says your joy may be full. Okay? Now, first thing to understand about this is that joy is different from happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances, and joy is yours even when the circumstances are not happy. Okay? So what does Yeshua mean when he says your joy will be full? I prayed about this, and I think what he's saying is that your joy will be like my joy. In other words, we will experience the joy that Yeshua experienced. Now, that's a little hard to imagine, but so let me just give you a couple of scenarios. How about the joy that he experienced when he conquered death and he rose? How would you feel when that would happen after going through all that? How about the joy he experienced when the Holy Spirit fell on all of his disciples and he saw them being filled with the Spirit and boldly proclaiming the gospel?
Yeah, right.
How much joy would you feel if you saw the people that you've been discipling see that happen? Well, that's the joy, I believe, that he's talking about. And then in this verse, to get that full joy, you notice he says, I have said this to you. So what is this? What is the this that he said that will bring you complete joy. Well, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is go back and read the previous 10 verses, and they are something that probably all of you are very familiar with. That's the analogy of the vine and the branches. So if we put that together, he's saying, I've said to you, you must be connected to the vine, or you can't bear fruit, so that, what? Your joy will be complete or full. So there's the key. How do we have joy? Be connected to the vine. And, you know, that's not rocket science. What does it mean? It means meditating on the Word, studying the Word, reading the Word. It means receiving teaching, obeying the Word. It's all wrapped up in the Word. But also it means worshiping, praying, fellowshipping, all of those things, listening. All of those things are how we connect to the vine. And those are the things that should bring us joy. And of course, Satan sends spirits to prevent this. And some of the spirits that I discern on this are hopelessness, robs joy, doubt, because joy is usually about the future. It's like things are going to be good. God's promises are going to be fulfilled. And if you have doubt and hopelessness, another thing that robs joy is busyness. Because if we don't have time to get connected to the vine, because we're too busy, then we won't have his joy. And of course, worry and fear, they rob joy. But also overly sorrow, excessive mourning. I mean, we are to mourn when, you know, we've had a great loss, but there needs to be an end to it. There needs to be a time to move on and be walking in joy.
Rejection,
yes. Sometimes his joy comes to me during the worst circumstances. Really, it's weird. I feel guilty sometimes about feeling joy because things are so bad. But when I give into it and say, okay, I still have the joy of the Lord, you know what? It carries me through, whatever that is. It carries me through. So how many of you ever experienced God's joy? How many of you have experienced the fullness of God's joy? Really? I don't think I have. I think it's more. I think it's something that we can all hope for more of. We can pray, and we're going to pray later to receive that fullness of his joy. So, next gift.
Number 18, James 1:5. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Amen.
So it's wisdom.
Yes.
Amen.
You can keep that one. There you go. So God will give wisdom, according to this verse, generously, more than you think you need, and without reproach. He won't think less of you because you've asked him for wisdom. He actually thinks more of you when you ask him for his wisdom. He wants you to ask for his wisdom. Why? Because he wants a relationship with you. And he wants each of us to see how dependent we are and to grow in that relationship. This gift was particularly important to me because I was raised with excessive respect for intellectualism. Maybe some of you have that. But, you know, I was trained as an engineer and as a scientist. And when you're trained that way, it's your job to figure things out. This is what you've been trained to do. And after coming to the Lord, I began to seek his wisdom for my engineering tasks. And it was amazing. That's when my career really started to turn around. And some of you may be aware, and I don't want to be bragging on myself here, but I managed to get a lot of patents. But as I look at those patents, I can go back and see every one of them came out of prayer. So it was the Lord giving me wisdom, because it wasn't possible to figure those things out in the natural. And the spirits that fight against this, against wisdom, are pride. You know, I can figure that out myself. Stubbornness. I know how to do this, so I'm not going to ask for help. There's a philosophy out there called humanism, which means, you know, human knowledge gets us to the places, and like I said, intellectualism. So how many here have ever received God's wisdom? Yes, it's so wonderful. Let's just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom. Okay, next gift. This is a good one. Okay, Mark. Yeah, that's a good one.
They're all good.
Luke 10:19. Remember, I have given you authority so you can trample down snakes and scorpions. Indeed, all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed. Can I buy a vowel? It was authority.
So you have authority over all of Satan's forces, according to this verse. All evil, unclean spirits, and philosophies of the enemy. And why do I say it's a gift? Do you notice the wording of it? I have given you authority. If it says he gave it, it's a gift. I have given you. So here's what I've learned over the years about how to receive this gift. There's kind of two parts to it. Mark 11:23 says this. Yes, I tell you, whoever does not doubt in his heart, but trust that what he says will happen, can say to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, trust that you are receiving it, and it will be yours. So I see one of the ways in which we gain authority is that the amount of authority we have is dependent on how much trust or faith we have that we've been given that authority. You see that? So this is a very important verse. The more you believe God's given you authority over all of the works of the enemy, the more you have it. And I saw this very early on in my walk with the Lord. You know, people being in situations where there's been some sort of demonic thing identified and people cowering and going, well, I don't know if I can deal with that and blah, blah, blah. And I remember Diane and I saying, well, we got the name of the Lord. What do we have to, we don't need to worry about that. And, you know, some of the movies that were made about the one about the priests doing all these rituals and hokey pokey things and stuff. And it's like, well, all it needs is somebody who really believes because he's given us authority, right? So one is to really believe it and to step out in it and to act on it. And the second is the next verse, James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, take a stand against the adversary and he will flee from you. So I believe the amount of authority we have is proportional to how submitted we are to the Lord. And sometimes that involves that uncomfortable thing of submitting to other people too. So it's part of the amazing way in which God's kingdom is not like the world's kingdom. Authority comes when you submit to the Lord, and then he delegates his authority through you. So the enemy sends spirits against this authority. And the ones that I discern especially are deceiving spirits. But all the spirits of the occult, they don't want us to believe we have authority over the works of the evil one. No. New age spirits, false religions, and of course doubt. Oh, I couldn't have authority over the evil one. I better go call the rabbi. No, you have authority. You can pray for deliverance. You can cast out demons. That's what the word says. And then there's the other side of it. Pride will keep you from having authority, and arrogance. Think you can do it in your own strength. So I know that everybody here has experienced some level of authority over the power of Satan. Why? Because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. He doesn't want you in this place. Okay? So even if you haven't given your heart to the Lord yet, you wouldn't be in this place if you hadn't broken through somehow through the power of the enemy and broken through his authority. So he wants you to be thankful. He wants you to be thankful. Let's be thankful. Lord, thank you for your authority. Thank you, Lord. May we come more into it. Okay. Got time for a couple more here. Who hasn't gone yet? All right.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
Number 20. Oh. From Exodus 16:29. See, Adonai has given you the Shabbat. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love the Shabbat. It's so awesome. I really look forward to it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now that was the best expression we've had all day. Definitely. Shabbat is a gift of God. Okay? And I believe it's a gift that he gave us to make sure we keep us physically healthy, to make sure we worship, to keep us spiritually healthy, and to make sure we have fellowship to keep us relationally healthy. All three of those. Deuteronomy verse 5 says something interesting about Shabbat. Chapter 5 and verse 15. You must remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Adonai your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Adonai your God commanded you to keep Yom Shabbat, the day of the Sabbath. So in this verse, therefore, where it says, therefore, Adonai commanded you to keep the Shabbat, I think Moses is getting at the reason, one of the reasons, obviously there's the need for rest, but one of the reasons God gave the Israelites Shabbat was because he understood that we all need a day of rest. We all need it to prosper in all of those days. And here's the thing where it connects with the slavery in Egypt. I don't believe they had a day of rest when they were slaves in Egypt. So they were working 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They just were working. And here's God was saying, no, now you're my servants, and my servants, I give a gift. I give the Shabbat to you. So I did a little study on this, and what I realized was that really in Western countries, we should understand that the whole idea of working and having one day off a week, which is what it was like until about the beginning of the 1900s, having that one day off a week was because God had given Israel the Sabbath. And the Christian world took the model of that and said, well, we have to have one day to worship God, so we have that day off from work. But interestingly, in the article that I read, which was from Atlantic Magazine, the first five-day work week, we're blessed with an extra day. You understand, everybody should understand that. We in America and in many parts of the world work a five-day week. But this is amazing. The first five-day work week in the United States was instituted by a New England cotton mill in 1908, not that long ago, about 100 years ago. And listen to the reason. It was to afford the Jewish workers ability to adhere to their Saturday Shabbat.
Wow.
Isn't that something? So the reason we have 2 days off is because there were Jewish people who were working in this factory, and the owner might have been Jewish, and he realized that they weren't getting their Shabbat. So he said, oh, well, we're not going to move it to Saturday because I got all these Christians who take Sunday off. So what do? I'm going to give them both days off. Pretty amazing. So if you're worshiping here and fellowshipping here on Shabbat rather than working, you are already experiencing the physical benefits of this gift, the spiritual benefits of this gift, the relational benefits of this gift. So let's thank him. Thank you for Shabbat, Lord. Okay, we're going to do one more. There's actually about 10 more, but we're going to stop here. Okay.
Gift number 21, Leviticus 23:2. Speak to B'nai Yisrael and tell them, these are the appointed Moadim of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations, my Moadim, my appointed times.
So what's the gift? What's the gift?
The appointed
times.
The appointed times.
Yes. Okay. So the way I read this verse, and if you can see it there, that the appointed times, the Moadim, also in other translations called the feasts or the festivals or the holidays, it says here they are his. They're God's. Okay? And so he gave them to Israel. And when we think about them, they are times of remembrance of God's grace, times of worship and prayer, and times to rejoice. So they are gifts of God to Israel. And I believe, and I think most of you believe, they are also gifts to all who are grafted in to Israel. And so here's an example. Remember before I said sometimes people don't receive the gifts of God. And 1,700 years ago, the church decided it didn't want these gifts. right? So we're not gonna keep these anymore. And we're not gonna open this gift. Well, that's a nice looking gift, but I'll just put it aside. It's not for us. And I just praise the Lord, and I hope you will too, that we live in a time when we can receive these gifts. We can keep them. And those of us who are ethnically Jewish, but also many who are grafted in, can also receive these gifts and receive the insight and the joy and the structuring of the year, the understanding of what God is all about that comes through these gifts. So Satan sends some false prophets, some false doctrines rather, and some spirits. He spends spirits of pride. And here's where he sent the spirit of anti-Semitism to block this gift. Spirits of legalism that say, oh no, this is legalistic. You can't do that. And there's a spirit that I've mentioned, maybe not everybody's familiar with it, but it's called antinomianism. And that spirit means, antinomos means law in Greek. So it's spirits that are demeaning the law or saying the law is not good. So the law tells us to keep these things, but we shouldn't do that because that's legalistic. That's the spirit that says that. So if you've begun to experience the beauty, the power, the joy, the depth of understanding of the appointed times, then let's say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those gifts. Thank you, Lord. All right, I lied. We should do one more. Because we're on a roll. Okay, one more. Somebody who hasn't come up yet. Come on, somebody there who's been sitting in the background. Okay, Catherine. Take the top one. Should be number 22. Okay. All right.
Give 22, Genesis 35, 12. The land that I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I give to you. So it's the land.
You're right. Awesome. Awesome. So God gave the land of Canaan to the descendants of Israel. And Israel being Jacob, when his name was changed to Israel. And Joshua claimed this gift with the Lord's help and took it, and the nation of Israel lived there for 1,500 years and prospered. But when they turned away, they lost the gift, and others possessed it. And over the centuries, many peoples and empires have claimed ownership of this gift that God gave to a specific people. And so we have, you know, the Turks and the Egyptians and the Romans and the British all claimed ownership to this, but also replacement theologians claimed that the gift belongs to us. And of course, the Muslims also had actual rule over the land, but also claimed that God gave it to them, that they're the true descendants of Israel. But we know that the giver of this, and really of all the other gifts, he is well able to make sure his gifts go to the people he meant them to go to. So that land is now back in the hands of the descendants of Jacob. And it will remain in our hands, I believe, until the end. But I want to just end with this one last verse here. Genesis 15 says this: on that day Adonai cut a covenant with Abram, saying, I give this land to your seed from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River. So if you have any concept of geography, you need to understand that this description of this gift has not been completely restored. A large part of it has not been restored. So my prayer, and maybe you want to pray this prayer too, is that may we live to see the full restoration of this gift. And the spirits against it, obviously anti-Semitism, but also genocide, Islam, and pride, trying to steal this gift. So let's be thankful that we are living in a generation where we saw this gift at least partially restored. And, you know, in 1948, one part was restored. In 1967, a bigger part was restored. And that's been a huge issue up until now. But someday, the Euphrates River, it runs through Iraq. Okay? So you got Syria and Jordan and then Iraq. two countries before you get to Iraq. And then it runs all the way up into Syria. So there's a lot more coming. There's a lot more coming. Okay, so let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you that you are a God of gifts. You are a God that loves to give gifts. And we thank you for all these gifts that we've gone over now. It's like 22 of them so far. Life and family and natural abilities and free will. And today we've seen some more gifts, Father. Love, your blood. We thank you for them. Let's just say thank you with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for shalom. Thank you for healing. Thank you for sleep. Thank you for joy. Thank you for wisdom. Come on, you can say thank you. I'll say the word, you say thank you. Thank you for authority over evil. Thank you for the Shabbat. Thank you for the appointed times. Thank you for the Lamb. We thank you so much, Father, for all of these gifts. We thank you especially for your Holy Spirit. And once again, we ask, Lord, that you would fill us or refill us with your Spirit, oh God, because we want to be witnesses for you. Thank you for your gifts, Father. And I just pray, Father, for all who have any doubt right now about any one of these gifts that you haven't received it. Lord, I just pray for that gift to overwhelm them. Love, joy, shalom. Just overwhelm us. Not that your circumstances will change, but that you would have the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the knowledge of his love. We ask for these gifts, Lord God.
Exceedingly abundantly.
Yes, exceedingly abundantly. I pray right now for anybody who's struggling with sleep and just come against a spirit of insomnia or worry or anything else that's keeping people who are struggling with sleep awake, and we bind its power, we break its power in the name of Yeshua. I pray for anyone here who's struggling with receiving the forgiveness of God. I just come against the spirits of condemnation and guilt and shame. Break the power of those spirits over anyone who's suffering from that in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, you know there's many here who need healing. So if you need healing, just stand to your feet right now, whatever you need healing for. Father, you look down and you can see how many of your children are in need of healing. And you say it's a gift, Lord. You say you heal all of our diseases. And so none of these diseases are things that you're not aware of or that you are not capable of healing. Whatever they are, so Father, we just ask right now that you would bring healing, that you would touch metabolisms, that you would touch joints, that you would touch digestive systems, that you would touch circulatory systems, that you would touch nervous systems, Father. In the name of Yeshua, we pray that you would touch brains, that you would touch hearts, God. You would touch muscles. You would just bring healing, breathing system, Father, lungs and airways. We ask for your touch, oh God, the gift, oh God, the gift of healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. We receive your gift of healing right now, Father. We receive it. Thank you, Lord. All our diseases, all our diseases, all our diseases. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I know that there's an equal number or more of people who are facing some situation that they need your wisdom for. So if you need wisdom right now for some situation, just stay standing or stand up along with the others. Father, your word said you give generously and without reproach. You give wisdom. And look at these, Lord God. They're asking for your wisdom, Father. They know, they've acknowledged they can't figure this out on their own. It's too much. There's no solution. There's no earthly solution. And so we ask for your wisdom, Father. Your wisdom that you say you give generously and without reproach. Give your wisdom, Lord. May it come to us in a thought. May it come to us from a friend. May it come to us in something we read from your word. However, Lord, we just open our spiritual eyes and ears to receive your wisdom for whatever situation we have that we need it for. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And finally, Lord, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just fill us, Lord. Fill us and refill us, Father, with your Holy Spirit. We just open up our hearts to you, Lord. Connect us to the vine, Father. Connect us to the true vine. Let the true sap of your vine flow into us in the form of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.